Just like every year, we are collecting the funds for the Bakra Mandi, which is for the families of Shohada of Pakistan. Please welcome Maulana Sheikh Yusuf with the Lao Salwat. Yeah, we found a lost phone from the area of Wazoo section. Brother Wajahat Raza has that phone, so please claim your phone. And please, if your child is outside playing, it's the right time to call them inside. Bar Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salawat.
Assalamu alaikum. Surah Al-Fatiha. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم محمد وعلى آله طيبين طاهرين المعصومين عما بعد. First and foremost, I send my condolences to the Imam of the time, Imam Zaman Ajalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. On this occasion of celebrating the Shahadat of his forefather, and I also send my condolences to you all. There is a few individuals that are present tonight that have recently been exposed to the doctrine of Ahlul Bayt, so I just want to bring them up to speed a little bit, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent approximately 124,000 prophets, the first of them being Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the last of them being Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasalam. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed the door of prophecy, revealed his final book, perfected the religion of Islam, he designated 12 personalities to guard his religion. Their job, in simple terms, is to take out what the people put into the religion and to put back what the people take out of the religion. And as I mentioned, there were 12 of these beloved personalities who were purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, meaning that they were of the same light, of the same spirit, of the same essence as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These individuals inherited from Prophet Muhammad everything that Prophet Muhammad inherited from the prophets before him. Now, Prophet Muhammad was a prophet, a Nabi. He was a messenger, a Rasul, and he was also an Imam. He was a leader. These 12 individuals are not prophets. They are not messengers, they are only Imams. And obviously this is also a high state because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was already the friend of Allah. Was already Khalilullah. He was already Rasulullah. He was already Nabiullah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a chance to do what? Achieve an even higher rank through sacrificing his son, Prophet Ishmael alayhi salatu wasalam. In any case, as a result of passing this test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased him to the status of Imam. And he said, he asked Allah, will this station of Imam be passed down through my lineage? He said, not to the unjust ones. And obviously it was passed down to 12 beloved individuals. And tonight we are remembering the anniversary of his martyrdom, the anniversary of when he was poisoned at the hands of Al-Mutasim, the Abbasid Caliph. So, you know, being followers of Ahlul Bayt, we commemorate their births and we remember their deaths. And this gives us an excuse to gather and so we can learn something. And tonight we are remembering the anniversary of the ninth of these beloved individuals, Muhammad al-Jawad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. obviously, I don't really need to be here because the brother gave you the history, so I can just speak a few minutes ago. But nonetheless, the Imam was the son, Imam Jawad, was obviously the son of Imam Ali al-Ridha, alayhi salatu wasalam. His imamate began when he was 8 years old also. And one thing that was unique to this imam, somewhat, was that he was also the son-in-law of al-Ma'mun, the corrupt Abbasid caliph. He was married to his daughter, Umm al-Fadl. Also, he... He was martyred, obviously his kunya was Abu Jafar, and he was martyred by Al-Mutasim, who was the son of Ma'mun. But nonetheless, this fact of the marriage between the Khalif of the time, his daughter, to the Imam of the time. And there were many different reasons, the scholars say, for this marriage. And the real one was to try to belittle the Imam, because his daughter was of the dunya. All she wanted was the life of luxury and this and that. So he figured that by marrying his money-hungry, materialistic daughter, it would expose or belittle the imam. And obviously, this didn't happen. There's a situation which I use against my own wives, and maybe you use that. Umm al-Fadl would complain to Ma'mun about Imam al-Jawad and said, he doesn't treat me the way I wanted to be treated. He's not into the material life and all this other stuff. And he told her, if you want dunya, there's a house over there that you can stay in. And if you want to be with me, there's a house that you can stay here with me. He clearly was not of the dunya. He clearly was not materialistic. And obviously he was, in every aspect, similar to his forefathers. He was the most pious of his time. He was the most righteous of his time. He was the most knowledgeable of his time. You know, there was no one on the creation, on the face of this earth who can surpass him in any positive attribute, just like his forefathers. And obviously, tonight, I had to think, what could I possibly mention concerning the Imam's life? There were so many aspects of it that can be spoken about. So I decided, inshallah ta'ala, to speak about something that was common not only to him, but also to all of the a'imma, including those who came after him and obviously his predecessors. And what they displayed is something that is seen few and far between in these days. For those of you that have known me for this almost 7 months, we've always tried to take away aspects of the lives of the imams that we can apply to our life, because they were examples. When someone's an example, it means there's someone to be emulated, duplicated, idolized, looked up to. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that the Rasulullah is the best example, and obviously Ahlul Bayt next to him. Now also, for those who are just becoming exposed to Islam or Shia Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Quran, a book. The most comprehensive book, the chief of books, not just any book, but he sent a book. And obviously, not everybody can understand what they read. And just like in school, you don't go to class, no matter what level it is, and the teacher comes and passes out the book and leaves. The teacher will give you the book and also explain the book. That's what the teacher does. And the a'imma, the imams, among other things, this is what their job was to do. Explain to you, give you demonstrations on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant in the Quran. So whatever if you didn't know how to read, or you didn't like to read, or you were confused by what you were reading, just look at the lives of the imams, master what they did, don't do what they didn't do, and you will be in good shape. This is what their job was, to be an example, to show us. Allah says do something in the Quran, they'll demonstrate. Allah says don't do something in the Quran, they'll show you how to be away from it, or tell you the harmful defects. So this was the job of the imams. And the topic of tonight's discussion, inshallah, is something that is missing, is a phrase called, or a word called, tawakkul. Trust. Tawakkul ala Allah. Trusting Allah. The imams trusted Allah. When you think about their lives, no matter what aspect you can speak about, no matter what aspect you want to pick apart, to dissect, to give a lecture on, at the end of the day, the most outstanding aspect of their lives was how much they relied upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawakkul. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, this is something that is not seen in these days. Too much. Tawakkul. Tawakkul ila Allah. Rely upon Allah. Reliance upon Allah. And every imam, including Imam Al-Juwad alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them relied upon Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَقَلَّ مُوسَى يَا قَوْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهَ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. And Musa said, O my people, if you believe in Allah, then upon Him rely. If you are believers. Tawakkul, having tawakkul ila Allah, trusting Allah, is the sign of being amongst the mu'mineen and mu'minat. As we know that in Islam, there is no lip service. Everything is proven. Allah says in Quran, bring your proof if you are truthful. And so when we talk about proving our sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proving our faithfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proving our loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no better way to do this than relying upon Him and trusting Him. Just as the Imams have shown us, just as Imam Al-Jawad has shown us, alayhi salatu wasalam, this tawakkul. In our most recent times, it's unfortunate that we do not really trust Allah. And what is actually trust for the youngsters? We normally trust our parents. You know, we normally trust maybe certain teachers, certain religious influences. We, you know, obviously this trust has to be established, meaning that they have proved reliability. They have proven trustworthiness. They have proven loyalty. They have proven truthfulness. These are the people that you find trustworthy. You know, and we find that if we look at our lives, in many cases, we will trust each other or we will trust our own two hands more than we trust and rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us think that the paychecks that we get are because of our, you know, great business acumen or our skill at our craft, and neglect that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's risk, His provision for you. These type of things we sometimes forget. Now, obviously relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mean that you just make dua and don't move. It means that many of you heard the narration that someone asked Rasulullah, have these camels, should I just leave them loose and trust Allah? Rasulullah said, no, tie the camels and still trust Allah. You still have to put forth your effort. For example, you'll make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning a new job and then go out and fill out the applications. Or maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the tawfiq to go to a job you didn't even come to mind before. You know, you rely upon Allah first and then go ahead and proceed, and inshallah He gives you the tawfiq. And if you get anything also, you realize that it was a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't from such and such. For example, if you follow the sunnah of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, when they would give someone something, they would also, you know, someone would say, oh, thank you. Like, no, this was already decreed for you. We were just holding it. It was just until now that you have received it, but this was part of your provision. It was coming to you, you know, and they always show that, you know, everything that they did, everything they had was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Naju Balaga, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam obviously was questioned about something huge. If you had a chance to talk to Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, what would you ask him about? The gate on the fort of Khaybar. So obviously you got the chance to talk to Imam and say, you know, what happened with you in this huge gate that all of the Muslims couldn't pick up and toss themselves? How did you do it? He said, I didn't do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did it through me. He never took credit for tearing the gate of Khaybar. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who did it. And when Isa, the son of Mary, was asked about the miracles, you know, how did you do that? He would always say, I did not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did it, and I was just the vessel that He did it through. It would always be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even today, the imams have taught us that your good deeds, Allah is more accountable for your good deeds than you, and your bad deeds are more accountable, you are more accountable than Allah. Because you couldn't do any good deeds without Allah has given you the intellect, He's given you the tawfiq, He's given you the ability and all these other things. So your good deeds Allah gets more credit than you really deserve, and your bad deeds, obviously, you get more credit because He gave you the power to do things, but you're supposed to do them in the right way. Nonetheless, in many cases, we've forgotten about Allah. And I'll give you an example of how we've forgotten about Allah. And if we forgot about Allah, then obviously we can't rely upon Allah. For example, a man can paint a picture of a woman, some famous guy paints a lady called Mona Lisa, and get more praise and more accolades than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created woman in the first place, that he got inspiration from. Or someone can invent for the military night vision goggles and get all these accolades and all these, you know, big credit when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave the big game cats, the big wild cats, this light in the back of their eyes that can make them see at nighttime better than we can see in day. But this man gets more credit than Allah, who invented it and who he got his idea from. Or some military general says, you know what, from now on, when our fighter planes fly, get into the V formation, it's easy on gas and it cuts through the wind better. And he gets all the, general, you're great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the instinct to the geese and other birds to fly in the V formation for the same reasons. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets overlooked. And there's many examples of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets kicked to the proverbial curb, forgotten. And obviously, if we've forgotten Allah, then we can't rely upon Allah. The Imams never once forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for a twinkling of an eye. They always relied upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning every aspect. Every aspect of their lives. Now, who do we distrust? Who do we don't rely upon? Those obviously who are dishonest. Those who are independable. Those who are not capable. Those who are ignorant. Those who are known for not fulfilling requests or completing tasks. So we understand who we rely on, and we also know who we don't rely on. So now I ask you this, who is more reliable, who is more dependable, who is more capable, etc., 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 than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Imams have exemplified this. No matter what they were going through, whether they had three or four Shia amongst them, whether they had a few thousand, they, as long as they had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rely upon, they were content. They were content. There's a narration that's pretty famous in which, I'm a paraphrase for the sake of time, in which a man came to one of the imams, I forget which one at this time, and was in need. So he requested from the imam, I believe it was Imam Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam, I'm not sure. And the imam was sitting with his companions and offered him a bundle of grapes, and the man was like arrogant. He was like, these grapes, forget it, I'm gone. He was, you know, very disrespectful, to say the least, not just to the imam, but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when that was, you know, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then another man came and requested from imam, and imam gave him three grapes, not a bundle of grapes, or I don't know what the term is, a bushel, I don't know, but he gave him a gang of grapes. But this man, he only gave him three individual grapes. And the man said, Alhamdulillah. And the imam gave him, I think, the rest of the grapes. And he glorified Allah again. Then the imam gave him something else, and he glorified Allah again. Then the imam gave him his abba, and he glorified Allah again. And then he thanked the imam, and the imam stopped giving him. He said, if you would have continued glorifying Allah, I would have kept giving. Because it was all about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The imams, when we talk about the phrase hujjat, proof. What is a proof? What are the imams? We talk about the imams are ayat, sign, a sign. What are they proofs of? What are they assign points? What are they pointing to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't want us just to memorize all of the dates. Their death date, their birth date, their marriage date, every date you can imagine. They don't want you to just memorize their dates. They want you to memorize and embed in your heart, just like you have memorized those dates and have them embedded in your heart, the examples that they've given for us. And I don't know about you, but if I was on my deathbed now and I could only get one word out to my family, I would say, Tawakkul ala Allah. Rely upon Allah. Because this is what the imams did. This is what the imams showed. This is what they displayed. This is what they were trying to teach us. All of them. Even our Imam of the time. Ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Now, let me explain to you about this concept of tawakkul. Because how many of you ever went swimming? Okay, imagine this pool of water. You know, the pool is full. You know, you're ready to go in. You got your towel. You got everything. And what do? You stick your toe in like, woohoo! It's freezing. You're hesitant to do what? You're hesitant to jump in. You know, you're like, no, not yet. You know, then you might try to put your whole foot in. Like, oh, no, not yet. You're just hesitant. You're like walking around the edge of the pool, you know. And everybody, some other people are already in it, swimming around, having an enjoyable time. Right? So imagine this pool is not filled up with water. It's filled up with tawakkul. It's filled up with reliance upon Allah. And that's what we do. We're scared to jump in. We're scared to trust Allah. We're like, whoo, I'm not sure about that. You know, I'm nervous. Truthfully, I'm nervous about trusting Allah. The reality is, just like you're out at that pool with your friend, you need to pinch your nose, jump right in, and bam, and you'll find out, wasn't as bad as you thought. Next thing you know, you're swimming around like everybody else. This is like how tawakkul is for us. It's like that freezing cold water in the pool that we're scared to jump in it. But if we do jump in it, we're going to float. We're not going to drown. Everything's going to be okay. It's not as cold as you think. How many times have you put water on in the shower and it seems cold, and when you get in there, it's not as cold as you think? And many of us have a fear of relying upon Allah. And I've heard it myself. I've also reading about people said, well, I'm not there yet about trusting Allah. You need to rely upon Allah. I'm not there yet. Yeah, let me give you an example. A brother, you know, I know some brothers who own businesses. Let me ask them for about a job. But did you ask Allah first? But let me give you, this wasn't in my, I didn't put the note down, but I just remembered offhand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that if you ask Him first, you have a better shot of getting what you want rather than asking Him later on down the line. Because when you ask someone else first, Allah many times will cause that person not to help you. And then by the time you go through your list of who you're going to call for help, and you see that they cannot help you, now Allah is not going to. As a lesson. How many times, I'm sure some of our older brothers and sisters here have had someone be in dire straits and needed help, and they didn't go to you. They went to everybody else, and by the time they got to you, like, I can't help you now, you should have came to me sooner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be the first one on the list that we discuss concerning every matter. Concerning, for those who are looking for wives, who better to introduce you to a mutaqi wife than Allah, who created the woman? Who better to, causing you to run into a mutaqi husband than Allah, who created the man? But what do? We go to every other, you know, let's go to Muslim Congress. Let's go here. First, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is showing reliance. This is showing iman. Relying upon Allah, trusting Allah. Imam Sajjad, alayhi salatu wasalam, was... One of his companions was asking him for something, and he said, you will rely upon me, a weak slave of Allah, more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself? This doesn't make sense. This tawakkul is something huge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب وما يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه. And whoever is dutiful to Allah, Allah will make a way out and provide them from where they did not reckon. And whoever relies upon Allah, He is sufficient for him. How many times have those of you who put it to the test said, you know what, I have an issue and I'm going to make a jihad that I do not ask anyone for it. I'm going to stay up, do night prayers, beg Allah. Imam Sajjad has in Sahifa Sajjadiyah, I forget which number, when you need needs, recite that dua. You say, you know what, I'm going to the dua, I'm trusting Allah, I'm making jihad. I'm not calling anybody. I'm putting it to the test. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes through, but everything that you can fathom, you figured, if anybody helps you, it's going to be this guy. I know, if I'm going to get help, it's going to be this guy. He has the money. Or if it ain't him, it's this guy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you from a way you never even expected. You couldn't even fathom, even come to your mind that Allah would help you from this direction. And all Allah says, if you are dutiful to Him, He'll make a way out from you from any hardship, financial, physical, any hardship it is. If you're dutiful to Him, He'll make a way out and provide you from where you never expected, from what you never thought of. And those who rely upon Allah, Allah is sufficient for them. Some of us are scared to jump in that pool of tawakkul. And those who have seen that they float. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truthful. But what it is for many of us, we don't believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the truth. He says in Quran, if you're dutiful to Him, He will make a way out and provide you where He doesn't reckon. But who believes it's the truth? As I've mentioned on numerous occasions, if a person says one thing and their actions say another, which do we believe? The actions. Tawakkul, the Imams always relied upon Allah. Imam Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam always relied upon Allah. And this is important. This is a sign of Iman. This is not something that is trivial. This is something huge. Because this is proof of our claim. And also, it even goes deeper than that. When the Imams give you a ruling, we're not talking about something where just the Muraja do, but you've come across a hadith that is clear. The Imam said do or don't do, and you don't trust it. Even though there's 20 more hadith confirming, like, I don't trust it. So we're concerned we don't trust the Imams. But the Imam said do, I don't really trust that. And there are many situations where we've proven our distrust of Allah in Ahlul Bayt, or our mistrust of Allah in Ahlul Bayt, or a lack of trust in Allah in Ahlul Bayt. And Allah says, trust Him. Imam Musa said, Nabi Musa told his people, listen, if you believe, rely upon Allah. Rely upon Allah. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا قَتَبَ اللَّهَ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَنَا وَعَيْلَ اللَّهَ فَلْيَتَّوَقُلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Say, nothing afflicts us except what Allah has written for us. He is our master. So upon Allah, then let the believers rely. They even say it deeper than that when good comes to us, you shouldn't jump up and down too much. And when something bad happens, you shouldn't jump up and down too much, because nothing is going to afflict you except what Allah has written. Look now, you look at the Imams' lives, what they've gone through. It was written. And inshallah, we'll go in a little more detail of some horrible events that were written. But they relied upon Allah. Whatever Allah puts them through, or put them through, good or bad, not good or bad, because it was all good. Tasteful or not good tasting, they were fine with it. They were fine with it. Because they knew that relying upon Allah was them displaying their faith in Allah, trusting Allah. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, in one of his dua, it's longer than this, but it's the first part of it. He says, Allahumma munna alayya bi tawakkuli alayk. Oh Allah, honor me through giving me reliance upon you. And then he goes down further. Imam Ali would even make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him reliance upon him. So it's not just something that we just have. It's something that we need to work towards. We have to be like that kid or that person who's at the pool and they put their toe in and it's freezing and they're hesitant to jump in. We need to jump into that trusting Allah. That's the only way. How many of you ever played that game where you have your friend and you say, okay, stand here and fall back? And they're like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. Now, this is your best buddy. And he's scared to fall back in your arm because he thinks you're going to drop him. He doesn't really trust you. Many of you know that. Maybe, you know, he's like, stand here. Or do it when you get out of here. Go home, get someone you trust and say, okay, stand here. Now, just fall back. And see if they can just do it. If they can, alhamdulillah. Most will be like, oh, wait a minute. How do I know? You might drop me. Now, that's one thing to do that to a human. That's acceptable. But to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have that view? He took care of us in the womb. He took care of us as adolescents. And most certainly, He'll take care of us as adults. He's given us that promise. Allah has never betrayed. He has never shown incapability. He has never showed dishonesty. He has never showed treachery. So there's no reason for us to have any distrust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no reason not to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the imams have done. Salawat if you understand. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam says, faith rests on four pillars. Reliance upon Allah, tawakkul, and trusting one's affairs to Allah, tafweed. Submission to Allah, taslim, and contentment with Allah's decree, rida. But obviously, tawakkul was the first thing he mentioned. Trusting Allah. We should trust Allah more than we trust our own selves. Shaitan can get at us. Shaitan can mislead us. He can make us slip. So we should even trust our own selves, but we should not have any hesitance to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He has mentioned in Quran. And what he's mentioned in Quran has been displayed, has been exemplified in the life of Imam Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said, a servant's faith in Allah is not complete until he has five attributes in him. Complete reliance upon Allah, tawakkul, and trusting his affairs to Allah, tafweed. Submission to Allah's will, taslim, contentment with Allah's decree, rida, and patience in Allah's tribulation, sabir. Certainly one who loves for the sake of Allah, hates for the sake of Allah, gives for the sake of Allah, and withholds for the sake of Allah has, in fact, completed faith. Now, one thing, my dear brothers and sisters, especially my younger brothers and sisters, there is no time in our Islamic tenure that we come complacent or satisfied with our religious positions. If you have become satisfied and feel that you have achieved the level which you're content, you're already on your way to the hellfire. Every single day until you are dead, even if you're 6 years old or 66 years old or 86 years old or 96 years old, you should be still trying to get better. Improving your trust in Allah. Improving your reliance and trusting your affairs to Allah. Improving your relying upon Allah. Improving your submission to Allah. Improving your being pleased with whatever He decrees. Richness or poverty. Good health or bad health. No matter what it is, these type of things. So when the Rasulullah has mentioned, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rest of the A'imma have mentioned, anything where they talk about faith is not complete, or this is not complete, or that is not complete, it means that we should be working to try to get to that position. Meaning that anything other than this is incomplete. And who here owns a business would be content if I worked for you and did the job and left the job incomplete? I'm sure I'd be fired no matter who I was. Why? You didn't complete the job. What teacher will be pleased at the child for not completing the work? You got a zero or you got a low score. Why? Because it was incomplete. Why don't we have this view concerning our own iman, our own position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it's important we understand that. Now before, as we get on for the sake of time, Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned in Sahifa Sajadiya a dua. This is the dua for seeking needs. And listen to the language. Listen to it. Obviously, I just took an excerpt from it. Thou hast lauded thyself. She's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously. Thou hast lauded thyself for having no need for thy creatures, and it suits thee to have no need for them. And thou hast attributed to them poverty, and it suits them to be poor towards thee. So he who strives to remedy his lack through what is with you, what is with thee, and wishes to turn poverty away from himself through thee, has sought his need in the most likely place and come to his request from the right quarter. First thing the Imam says, that whoever comes to Allah begging, that whoever comes to Allah stating his need, whoever comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complaining of his shortcomings, has come to the right place. First and foremost. As I've mentioned. And he continues, but He who turns in his need toward one of thy creatures, or assigns the cause of his being granted to other than thee, has exposed himself to deprivation and deserves to miss thy beneficence. There's two aspects here. Obviously, there's a higher level of faith and lower level of faith. So obviously, the higher level of faith, as the Imams mentioned, that a true Shia, which we're trying to be. Anyone who says they're true Shia in here, you're a liar, myself included. We're trying to be. The Imam said, first of all, true Shia, 51 rakats daily. True Shia fasts more. It's not how many days they fast, it's the few days they don't fast. And obviously, a true Shia will not ask anything from anybody, even if their family was starving. They will rely upon Allah and will trust Allah. If someone brought food, it's because Allah gave the tawfiq, go to this family and give them some food to eat. But they will not ask anyone. And there are some like that amongst you. People say, you need anything? No. No, they're in dire straits. But they are not going to say yes. Because that's manifesting distrust in Allah. But the Imam says, those who go to the creatures, it doesn't mean go to them after you've asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, it's better if you don't and trust Him. But it's still okay if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then do what? Then go ask someone. Everybody's not that high level of faith. But if you get something and then say, oh, and neglect to say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi ala hadahi ni'mah. Oh Allah, verily praises to you for this blessing. Alhamdulillahi, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli halal. Alhamdulillah in all circumstances. Or Alhamdulillahi kama huwa ahlu. Alhamdulillah, all praise to you Allah, just as you deserve. Without praising Allah, thanking Allah, and you attribute that this came from the person, rather than a means from Allah, then you are in error. Severe error. And the Imams have clarified and emphasized by the Imam saying, he deserves deprivation of your beneficence by doing that. So it's okay to ask Allah and then ask someone. It's better to ask Allah and don't ask no one. But if someone does help you, you better be mindful that that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The paycheck you got from your job came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It came through your boss, but it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Imam continues, oh Allah, I have a need of thee, and my exertion has fallen short of it, and my stratagems have been cut back before reaching it. Now, how many of us can relate to that? We've tried everything, can't get to what we need. All our plots and plans fall short. Imam confessed that. And Allah, now, it's only you. Then he says, my soul induced me to present it to him who presents his needs to thee. Meaning that, he's giving an example for us that some of us, most of us, we will ask people who themselves have to ask Allah. We're going to ask someone who asked Allah themselves, as opposed to asking Allah directly. He says, my soul induced me to present it to him who presents his needs to thee and can do nothing without thee in his request. But this is one of the slips of the offenders and one of the stumbles of the sinners. We'll rely upon the creation more than the creator. The Imam did not teach us this. They relied upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that tawakkul, ila Allah. And he continues, then through thy reminding me, this is a reminder, then through thy reminding me, I was aroused from my heedlessness. Through thy giving success, I stood up from my slip. And through thy pointing the way, I returned and withdrew from my stumble. He considering it a slip and a stumble to be negligent and ask the creature. Just think of Nabi Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh, tell the Aziz that I'm in here. Remind him. Yeah, Allah, he remembered immediately. And Allah left him in the prison longer. He was supposed to ask who to release him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Story of Nabi Yusuf. You remember that? He said, dog, tell the Aziz about me. He's like, he sinned. Obviously for us, that's not a sin, but for him it was a sin, just to forget Allah for a twinkling of an eye. So there's a lesson even in the story of Nabi Yusuf. But even as a good example that Nabi Yusuf was of this ideology, the Aima was an even better example of this ideology of having that tawakkul. Then he says, and I'm going to end here on this aspect, I said, glory to my Lord, how can the needy ask from the needy? How can the destitute beseech the destitute? Everything should be taken to the courtyard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything should be taken to the courtyard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must manifest this tawakkul. Let me tell you something. You must rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your family from their home, traveling through the desert from Medina to Mecca and then the sands of Karbala. Relying upon Allah. Everybody's saying, Imam Hussein, you should not do this. Even family members, don't do that. And what was he'd tell them, you know, this is, you know, yeah, your advice, alhamdulillah. But he's relying upon who? Their advice or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he's taking his family. Is he uneasy? No. Is he not in a state of peace? No. He has qalbi salim. His heart is at peace. He is content. And he knows what's going to happen. But he's relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And trusting his affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. And all of the imam have done their job. Imam Jawad, alayhi salatu wasalam, his example was not only his forefathers that are right before him, but his great forefather, Imam Hussein, alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Jawad was upholding the sunnah of Imam Hussein. This is relying upon Allah, trusting Allah. The deserts are not traveling like on this highway. You gotta worry about running out of gas or a flat tire. You can die in that desert easily, traveling for months. Imam Hussein relied upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he got good sound advice. And he thanked for that good advice. His brother Muhammad ibn Hanafiya gave him good advice. But none of the advice was better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's advice. He was not going to rely upon any of this advice. He was only going to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when he got to the desert, he did not stop relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He manifests more reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And entrusting his affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. Even the ladies in the caravan of love knew what was going to happen. None of them said, leave me, leave me. They went. You think, you have to understand, the imams have mentioned in many narrations that we have it better than them. No, it's more difficult for us than them on this aspect. That they display sabr knowing what's going to happen. We have to display sabr not knowing what's going to happen. They can rely upon Allah knowing what's going to happen. We have to rely upon Allah not knowing what's going to happen. But their life situations is to such extreme that it makes up for that. We don't have to sacrifice our family. We just have to sacrifice the dunya. We don't have to watch our sons, brothers, nephews, and best companions get killed. We just have to kill our egos. We don't have to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a high level that the imams do. But we should, that level that they displayed is what? Is doable. It is doable. Imam Hussein also exemplified this reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go through what he went through and be at peace. And what's the proof of his peace? He's in that desert offering prayers in a state of comfort, just as if he was back home in his own prayer niche, his own mihrab. Arrows flying by, trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the women, yes, they're crying. Yes, they're upset because of what they have to see. But they never once said anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And understood that they are relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Bibi Zainab, salamu alayhi alay, exemplified this in the courtyard of Yazid. This reliance upon Allah. This is a manifestation of our belief. It's the manifestation of our belief. There are many, 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 many lessons to learn from the A'immah. The Imams knew when they were going to be poisoned. They knew when they were going to be put under house arrest. They knew when they were going to be taken from their families. They knew when their kin and bloodline was going to be slaughtered just because of the claiming to be a Shia or having the relationship or the bloodline running through them. But they never neglected to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this concept is not seen as much today. Everything is I rely upon myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Hadith Qudsi that a believer relies upon Allah more than their own two hands, let alone someone else's hands. You got to understand this. And those of you who were with me for a while or last Muharram, that Imam Hussein did not show us an aspect of Islam. He showed us Islam in its entirety on that desert. All of the A'immah have shown us the manifestation of relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just think of Imam Qadim alayhi salatu wasalam. Out of all those who were under house arrest, he was in prison for an extremely large number of years. And when they would eavesdrop to see what he was saying, he was saying, Ya Allah, I always wanted some time for just me and you, without any distractions. He was relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This reliance, we have to display this, we have to acquire this, we have to not be afraid to plug our nose and just jump in the water of tawakkul, so to speak, instead of being hesitant. Because that's the only way it can be cultivated. It's just like a child learning. How many of you have taught your child how to ride a bike? You're running beside them, holding the back seat, your son or your daughter saying, Baba, don't let me go, don't let me go, no, I'm scared. You let go a long time ago and are just jogging behind the bike. And then they see that they're doing it, now they're not scared anymore. We have to use this concept and manifest our own trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not be scared to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, you know, I understand this job is kind of haram, but if I don't sell this, I'll go broke. You don't trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone said, there's a hadith that's very famous, also about marriage. He who doesn't get married because they don't have money also does not trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because marriage brings finances if you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, well, I'm not financially set yet, so I'll keep sinning instead of getting married and trusting Allah. There are many manifestations that the Imams have mentioned of not trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important, my dear brothers and sisters, that when we gather on these occasions, that we take what needs to be taken from the lives of the A'immah, alayhi musallam. And as I've mentioned, from day one, no matter what your view of me is personally, I speak to you like I speak to my own family. I discuss with you like I discuss with my own family, because the Holy Prophet said, you do not believe, you do not have any faith unless you love for yourself that which you love for your brother, and you dislike for yourself that, and you dislike for your brother that which you dislike for yourself. And if I was on my deathbed and I could only get a few words out, I would be saying, rely upon Allah. Trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what the situation looks like, no matter how dire the straits seem, no matter how things look bleak, no matter how grim things look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as long as you are dutiful to Him, He will make a way out and provide you from where you never reckoned. That's if you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sent His message to Rasulullah through who? the most trustworthy angel, Jibreel. And he sent it to his most trustworthy prophets, especially Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And things have been accessible to us because of the Imam alayhi musallam. So where in there is any chain that we can say we don't trust? Allah to Jibreel, to the Anbiya, and upheld by Imam. Where's the weak link in it? Weak link in there that's like, I don't trust it. There is no weak link. There's no reason not to trust. And the Imams have manifest this in their stories. They've manifest this in their stories. So we have to do our part. You know, when you think about the Imam, they each upheld the sunnah of Rasulullah. And obviously, Imam Hussein was upholding the sunnah of Rasulullah. They all were upholding the sunnah of Rasulullah, which was to do what? To do islah to the ummah. So the people always have access to what? Haq. They always have access to truth. And they always can have a minaret or a light that can show us how to do things. Some of us, for example, some of us who work, some of us can go to classes. For example, there's mechanics who have gone to class to be a great mechanic, and they become good. There are those who just watch people work on cars, and they're better than the guy who went to school, because some people can learn by just watching. That's why we're supposed to learn the lives of the Imam. Not just memorize the date that they were born, the date that they died, you know, what place they, where their shrine is. How is that going to make your religion better? It's good to know those things, but also to embed in your heart what they were trying to get, what they were trying to exemplify. And now, as I've mentioned, time is running out, dear brothers and sisters. The signs have been here for the end of time. The Imam is not, we're not waiting on the Imam. The Imam is waiting on us to begin to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to begin to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, I know what the Quran says, but. Yeah, I already heard the hadith, but I don't really trust it. That's not said verbally. It's what the actions manifest. So please, we have to cultivate this tawakkul. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma kun li waliyyika al-hujjati ibn al-Hassan. صلواتك عليه وعلى أبائي في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك تعؤاه وتمتئه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
شور مدینے میں ہے روتا होते हैं छोटे बड़े चोर मदीने में होते हैं छोटे बड़े हाय शे इंसो जा हाय शे इंसो जा हाय तखी हाय 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 शे इंसो जा हाय तखी हाय हाय शियों का था ये बयां हाय तखी हाय हाय आप थी क्या खता जहर जो बेदिन दिया आप थी क्या खता जहर जो बेदिन दिया ऐशे कौनो मका ऐशे कौनो मका हाय तखी हाय हाय